We looked last time. We're going to be studying different, what the Bible calls sins in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 20 is where we'll start. If anyone needs one of the papers, if you'd like to follow along, Alex has those in the back. If you need one, just raise your hand and he'll get you one. If you'd like one, if you need one. But Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to use our Bibles a lot because that's what we're doing is a Bible study. Because I do not want anyone to think anything we talk about here in this year on studying these different sins is Travis Burke's opinion, all right? I just want to see what the Bible says. You can't go wrong when you follow what the Bible says. And so we'll just look at what the Bible says, and we'll continue our look at this area of sin. And we're going to look tonight at stealing. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15, very simply says this, "Thou shalt not," what? "Steal." All right, "thou shalt not steal." We as believers should have no part in stealing. Yet the world kind of accepts it at times. A lot of Christians accept it at times. If we ever use phrases like, "Well, it wasn't much." Some of us have said that, right? "Well, they're never going to miss this. I need it more than they do. Well, they owe me." If it's not yours and you took it, it's stealing. Stealing is stealing no matter the value of what was taken. I'll say that one more time because that has to sink in tonight. Stealing is stealing no matter the value of what was taken. It doesn't matter whether you stole a gold coin that is worth $10,000 or even taking home ink pens from your office that you're not supposed to be taking home. If it's not yours and you're not supposed to take it and you take it, it's stealing, and stealing is a sin. Again, I said last time that with lying, many Christians have just accepted some lying, not the big lies, but the little lies that benefit, and they're okay. Well, no, not actually. A lot of us Christians will look at stealing, and some things is no big deal. For instance, when you go to the gas station and you bought some cowtails. Remember that night when I went to BP and bought a cowtail because it was on my mind after that, all right? And you go and you buy a Coke. And I'll tell you something good, all right? Get you a bottle of Coke and some peanuts. And you put the peanuts in the bottle of Coke. Now, if you've never done that, you're missing out on life, all right? I asked that in school the other day, and like only three kids had ever done it in their life. You parents are failing, all right? You have to teach them these things, all right? So you go and you buy this, and it costs, $4, we'll say $4.50, all right? And you hand them a 10, but the lady, she, in some reason in her mind, thought you handed her a 20. Instead of handing you back $5.50, she hands you back $15.50. I've been with Christians that said, "Well, I'm sure they owe me. Bank error in my favor." I've gone out of here before and they haven't given me what I did order, so it's okay. Is it? Stealing. We're going to talk about stealing tonight. Look over real quick in Hosea, all right? I'll give you 20 minutes to find it. Hosea. No, I'm just kidding, all right? Go to Hosea in chapter number 4. Hosea chapter 4. It's right after Daniel. So Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, then Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. Look at verses 1 through 3 real quick with me. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Says this, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field." Now, it's Israel, and there is a punishment. And because of these sins, the whole land was suffering. And the realization is this, while we're not Israel, and this country, America, is not Israel, The fact is this, some of the principles of God's word that apply to Israel can apply to us too. And you see the results of sin in this country abounding. We have accepted lying as a culture. Everybody lies. So you got your bad lies, you got your little white lies. Almost everybody steals. Now, I know it's odd people, it's very rare people walk into a bank and rob a bank, and that's stealing and that's wrong. But how many are so guilty of stealing things and taking things that don't belong? How many Christians just write it off as no big deal? You go into a store, you went through the Kroger checkout lane, and didn't you have the case of water, and you didn't see it and put it on the tray and you get to the car, I didn't pay for it. What do? I'll tell you what most people do. They go on. You go through McDonald's, and I know Goshen McDonald's owes you $500. I guarantee it, all right? I guarantee if you ever go through there, they owe you money, all right? But the one time that they give you too much money back, don't rationalize it and go home and take it. You see, my job in studying these different sins, everyone would have walked into the auditorium tonight and said, is stealing wrong? Yes. That's not my goal to teach you it's wrong. My goal is for God to speak to my heart and to your heart about how we accept a lot of sin. How we're all kind of guilty of it at times. We get the wrong change, but we keep it. At work, we use this tool more than anyone. It's pretty much mine anyway, so I'll take it home. On our taxes, the government isn't going to miss that $100. It's no big deal. It's still stealing. I remember Hope, I don't think, was born yet. We went to the Indianapolis Children's Museum. Me, my wife, and two kids. I think Miss Rachel went. Did you have two or one? I'm not sure. And my sister Crystal went. We all went to Indianapolis Children's Museum. And I spent the day, let the kids do the children. They had a McDonald's there, which cost like $20 for anything you bought. And I remember I purchased some things for our family, and I remember going back to my seat and looking at my receipt, and they gave me back too much money. They gave me back 75 cents more than what they should have. I should have got back a quarter, and they gave me back 50 cents more. So I should have had a quarter, and they gave me back 50 cents. And I sat there, and I looked at it, and I was just like, that place was crowded. It would have took me an hour and a half to stand in line to get it back to them, all right? And so I stuck the 50 cents in my pocket and went through my day. We went through the whole day and had a good time. Came back home, and the next day, I was sitting in my office, and that was bugging me to death. And I sit there, and here's what I did. I'm just being completely honest with you, okay? I didn't want to send two quarters in the mail because they'd probably fall out or whatever. So I wrote a check for 50 cents, and I put it in the mail. And I wrote a letter that I realized that she gave me back too much money at the Indianapolis, museum, et cetera, et cetera. And I sent off my check for 50 cents to, I paid 30 cents for the stamp and 50 cent check, right? But anyways, I sent it back to them. And I'm going to be honest with you, I thought they're going to send me back a letter and thank me for my honesty and give me like free coupons, right, for meals. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I never got a letter back. And they cashed the check, all right? And I didn't get no letter saying I'm a hero or nothing like that. But when I finally, stopped and thought about it, I'm really glad I did that. Or else I'd have a hard time looking at you right now. And I'm glad I did that. A lot of times we just say, well, it's no big deal. It's something little. Stealing's not a big issue. You know, every time you reach, and most of you right now in your pocket, you have a set of keys. All right, most of you. Most of you have a set of keys, I'm assuming. I don't know, look at our brother Randy. Do you have any keys on you right now? Can you hold them up for me? Check this out, ready? All right, there's Brother Randy's keys. I always want to call him Uncle Randy because that's what we call him. All right, there's Brother Randy's keys. Now, see those keys right there? Everybody look at Brother Randy's keys there, all right? See that? Every one of you pretty much have keys. I want you to understand this. Every time you pick up a key, you are reminding yourself of the sinfulness of man. Why do we have keys? Because man loves to steal. Why else would you have keys? We wouldn't need a key if this wasn't an issue. We could leave our houses unlocked and leave our stuff in the car unlocked. We would never have to lock anything, right? We could leave the church buildings all unlocked and, hey, just open up the safe and let it go, right? You know, it's a good society. Man is good. No, they're not. Men are sinful, and we are sinful. And that's why every time you pick up your keys, I want to remind yourself of the sinfulness of man. That's what we are. That's why we have everything locked. That's why we do that. And our children, none of us had to teach our children how to steal, yet pretty much they all did. Every one of them. I mean, I told you about one of our kids stealing gum the other day, you know, years ago. Not the other day, years ago, right? And then we took the Roberts out when they were in town. We went to Bob Evans. And after the basketball game, my family and the Roberts, we went to Bob Evans. And it was quite a show. We went to Bob Evans, and we're all sitting there, and we all gather at the tables. And me and my wife are sitting at one table with the Roberts across from us. And she is holding precious little Abigail. And she's holding little Abigail, and she's all cute and cuddly, and there she is. And all of a sudden, she opens up this piece of gum. And Mandy said, "Where'd you get that gum? Ethan, did you give her gum?" "No." "Valerie, did you give her gum?" "No." She went through everybody. "No." Guess where she got the gum? At the cash register. She grabbed it and stole it and was eating it. Your missionary's daughter is a thief, all right? She's a thief. I looked at the Roberts and said, "What are you training your kids, right?" They were like, "I'm so sorry." I was like, "Eh, my daughter did it too." Right? But, you know, and they made her go back. And they made her go to the cash register, and they paid for the gum and made her do that. And, you know, but no, I promise you, Brother Roberts hasn't taken Abigail around and taught her how to steal. She does it naturally, because that's what our flesh does. The Bible speaks a lot about stealing. Stealing is, if you want a definition of stealing, it's intentionally taking what doesn't belong to you, that belongs to someone else. That's what stealing is. Taking what doesn't belong to you. Which, by the way, on a side note, this is just something to meditate on. This shows you God's opinion on private property, by the way. I don't know if you thought about that, right? There's a lot of governments and ways of running things out there that doesn't believe in private property. Well, God believes in it. Otherwise, no such thing as stealing. They can only take what's yours, right? So if God says, "Thou shalt not steal," that means you must possess things that belong to you. Anyways, hate to be all, I know I'm being a teacher, right? But there you go, all right? Little fly. That was pretty good, all right? You have to admit that, all right? All right, so we can't be socialist. All right? God doesn't believe in that. All right, we'll go on, all right? So the Bible does talk about stealing a lot, all right? Let's zoom through these real quick. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. We already read it. Don't need to go there again. We know, number one, that not stealing is one of the Ten Commandments. We read that. The Bible says very simply, "Thou shalt not steal." Look over in Leviticus chapter number 19 real quick. Leviticus chapter 19. We're just talking about what the Bible says about stealing. Leviticus chapter number 19 and verse number 11. We see this, and this is why we study it in this order, that stealing is closely connected with lying. Stealing is closely connected with lying. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 11, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." You know, if you're going to steal something, pretty much you're going to have to lie about something. And our culture today tries at many times, even though everyone says stealing is wrong, yet we kind of make a hero out of thieves. I mean, cartoons make a hero out of thieves. All our stories make heroes out of thieves. All the bunch of the movies make heroes out of thieves. I mean, you know, some of your biggest known movies and action movies, it's all about people that are thieves. And we make them into heroes. And if you're going to steal something, you're pretty much going to have to at some point lie about something too. All right, they're very closely related. That's why we study them in this order. Number three, stealing demanded a severe punishment in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, when God made the law, look at what God said about those who would steal. Go back to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22, and in verse number 1. We're going to zoom as fast as we can. Exodus chapter 22. I tried to put these verses in somewhat of an order. We have to go back a little bit, back and forth. Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 1. It says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it and sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. So if you stole something, here's one punishment. If you sold it, or if you stole something, and then either you sold it to someone else and got rid of it, or you consumed it yourself, you had to pay back 5 times what you stole. That was God's law. Now, if you stole something and still had it and you were able to give it back, then you had to give that back plus give it back double. Look in Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 4. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. So God's punishment is if you stole something and you either ate it or you sold it and made money off of it, you have to pay back the person you stole from 5 times what you took. If you stole something and they catch you with it, you had to pay that back double what you took. We also go to Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 3. If you stole something and you could not pay them back, then you were to be sold as a slave. And the price of you being sold was given to who you stole from. Exodus 22 and verse number 3. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now, you either have to pay back 5 times, pay back double, or you are sold and made a slave to pay back your debt. In other words, God didn't say stealing, no big deal. God took it seriously. Look over in Leviticus, please. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse number 2. Well, actually, if you want to stick bookmark or something in Leviticus 6, we'll reference it a lot tonight. Leviticus 6 and verse number 2 says this, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep or in fellowship or in a thing taken away by violence or hath deceived his neighbor or hath found that which was lost and lieth concerning it and sweareth falsely in any of all these things, a man doeth sinning therein. By the way, if you steal something, God said right there, it is a sin. Now, what we're looking at is this, that if they steal something with deception, what did they need to do? They lied about it. In other words, they tricked somebody. I give you a quick illustration. You've got a car. You know the transmission's about to go out, all right? But you tell them everything's perfect, and you sell it to them. You stole from that person by deception. This is where it starts hurting us, right? When we know there's something wrong with what we just sold someone. Hey, this computer, it works great. And you know the thing crashes every 2 hours, right? You are stealing from that person. Amen. Verse 4, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away or the thing which he deceitfully gotten or that which was delivered him to keep or the lost thing which he found or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal and shall add the 5th part more thereto. So if you stole something by deception, you have to pay them back plus 20%. Now, does that law apply to us? I don't think that law applies to us, although it probably wouldn't hurt. But I will say this, it shows you God's opinion of stealing. It's not a light matter. God takes it seriously. Number 4, stealing is a sin that had to be cleansed by blood. Leviticus chapter 6, down in verse number 6. We already read in context, we're talking about someone who stole. Verse 6, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock with the estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him. It took a blood sacrifice to cover this, the sin of stealing. In Exodus chapter 22, go back a little bit. We'll come back to Leviticus. But in Exodus chapter number 22, number 5, killing a thief who was trying to steal was a justifiable thing. In Exodus chapter 22, I'm just showing you how God looked at stealing. Exodus 22 and verse number 2. if a thief be found breaking up or and be smitten that he die, God said, there shall no blood be shed for him. 2017, I tell you, you have a right to defend your home. If someone's trying to break in, and, you know, back in those days, if they were going to break into, I don't know, their house, their tent, and steal their possessions, and there was a skirmish, and you were defending your home, and that man who was a thief, he dies in that skirmish. There was no homicide, there was no requirement in God's eyes, because that man was a thief. Now, I'm not putting these laws on us today. I'm trying to give you God's viewpoint of stealing. It is a very punishable offense. God takes it very seriously. It took a sacrifice of blood to cover for it. And if someone was stealing and they died, God said, well, I'll put in Travis Burke words, that's what he gets. That's what he gets. Number six, stealing leads to violence. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 1. Stealing leads to violence. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10 all the way to verse 19. We're not going to read them all. But it says in Proverbs chapter 1, a familiar passage of Scripture, but you'll notice the thing here, they try to get a group together, and they're going to go out and take advantage of people and steal from them. And what happens? It always leads to violence. Proverbs 1:10, it says this, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. They say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. They're going to steal from these people. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood and look privily for their own lives. The bottom line is this. Solomon warned his son, don't go with these people who are looking to steal things, because they're going to end up in problem and destruction. Violence. In Proverbs chapter number 2, Proverbs 21, stealing leads to destruction. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 7, Proverbs 21 verse number 7 says this, again, stealing brings destruction. Proverbs 21 verse 7, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Can I tell you what, if you look in your prison systems today, you know what most people are in jail for? The majority? You can look it up. Stealing. In some sort, stealing. It brings destruction. Number 8, stealing brings shame and disgrace. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. Stealing brings shame and disgrace. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 26. Jeremiah 2 verse 26. Stealing brings shame and disgrace. Jeremiah 2:26 says this, as the thief is ashamed when he is found. We'll stop there. Stealing brings shame. It's all fun and adventure and exciting and a thrill when you're stealing something until you get caught. Then it brings shame. You say, well, none of us are robbing a bank. Well, young people, when you look at that test paper on the person next to you, and you take the answer that wasn't your answer and put it on your paper, you just stole. And trust me, those who get caught, there's always shame and disgrace. Whenever you're at work and you take something that shouldn't be yours and you get caught, there's always shame and disgrace. Number 9, stealing. You don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 15, it describes those other two people hanging on the cross. The reason they were hanging on the cross is because they were thieves. So, stealing deserved a death penalty under Rome. But I do want to look at this one. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Stealing is one of the sins of the unrepentant in hell. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, let me get somebody real quick. Brother Jordan, would you be able to read Revelation 9:21 for me in a second? All right, Revelation 9:21. We'll all look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And I just want to remind you, these verses don't mean the people that commit these sins can't be saved. It says the unrighteous. When you got saved, you were made righteous. So the unrighteous are people who have never trusted in Jesus Christ and their sins have not been covered. But then the Lord goes on to show you some of these sins that unrighteous people do. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind. Every one of us would sit there and look at those sins and say, those are wicked. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Thieves. It's one of the sins of those that will be in hell because they never trusted in Christ, and they will forever cry out knowing that they were thieves. Verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. And by the way, us in this room, such were some of us. But let's finish the verse because it's awesome. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen for that. Praise the Lord for salvation. Revelation chapter number 9, verse 21, Brother Jordan. They never repented. And God throws that sin right there with all those other sins that all of us would say, those are terrible. Well, so is stealing. So just remember it. Next time you are tempted to take something that's not yours, we'll talk about how we steal in just a second. So we saw the Bible talks a lot about it. Now let's do our second point. We look nextly at Bible truths about stealing. And we'll do this same outline with every one that we study, Lord willing. Some Bible truths. Number one, we'll do this quickly. The origin of stealing. Why do we steal? What's the origin of this? Look over in Matthew chapter number 15, please. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 19. Matthew 15 and in verse number 19. What is the origin of stealing? Matthew 15, verse number 19. Says this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. You know where stealing comes from? Number one, it's our lost tendency. That's our heart when we're lost. That's what we want to do. We want to steal. If you don't believe me, go hang around the 4- and 5-year-old Sunday. They love to steal. I mean, they're all thieves. If you put down a cookie in front of all of them, you'll see the one kid looking. No one's looking. He'll grab the other kid's cookie. You'll see it. We just went up to a basketball tournament with all Christian schools, and $200 was taken out of the boys' locker room. Well, none of our boys. None of our boys have $200. But somebody had $200 that was taken. So why? Because our wicked hearts enjoy taking. Where is the origin? From that's our lost tendency. Number two, it's a lack of trust. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. Philippians 4, verse number 19. For time's sake, Brother Randy, would you read James 4, 1 through 3 next? All right. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 19. Everybody look at this verse. Philippians 4, verse number 19. Why is there stealing? Number one, it's our lost tendency. That's what we do. Secondly, it's a lack of trust. A lack of trust. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply what? All your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, a lost person's going to steal because that's what lost people do. But Christians many times steal. We take change that isn't ours. We take the extra thing in the grocery cart that we didn't pay for. We do these things. Why? We don't really believe God's going to take care of us. So we'll get it while we can. I've not even mentioned about not tithing, but that's being a thief too. Why don't people tithe? They don't trust God. Y'all need to amen a little bit every once in a while, all right? Because that's the scriptures. It's a lack of trust. People steal because they don't trust God's going to provide for them. Pretty much, this is something else to think about. Every society that is and has ever been, no stealing's wrong. From the very beginning. If you want to talk about today's modern, our culture, or Europe, or I don't care, where are you going in this world? Or if you go in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, they're going to tell you, don't take what's mine. Everybody knows that's wrong. Yet, we've always done it. It's our lost tendency. It's a lack of trust. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, real quick, Brother Randy, if you don't care. So, number one, the origin of stealing is it's our lost tendency. Number two, it's a lack of trust. We don't trust the Lord to give us our needs. And number three, it's our lust for things. We want stuff. We want it. And God hadn't given us what we want, so we're going to take it for ourselves. And I'll give you one more in Romans chapter 13, verse number 9. Romans 13, verse number 9, fourth origin of stealing is this. It's a love that is troubled. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 9, listen to what Paul says in Romans 13, 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Now again, right there in the middle of that, thou shalt not steal. Now look what he says. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can I tell you why you steal? You know why I've stolen in my life? And when I've stolen and when you've stolen, you know why the world steals? Is because here's one root problem. Paul describes it right here. Because you don't love people like you should. Because if you love them, you wouldn't steal from them. If you love them, you wouldn't want to take from them. So as a Christian, if you steal something that's not yours, be it if you walk into, you know, one of you men, the Bass Pro Shop, slip a reel in your pocket and walk out with it, that's stealing. Or if you walk next door to our senior room with all the candy bars and you take a candy bar that's yours, they're both stealing and they're both sins. Amen. Or if you don't put your tithe and offering in the offering plate, that's stealing. Or if you're walking out and you see a quarter laying on the floor and you put it in your pocket, there's no such thing in God's eyes as finders keepers. It's stealing. You're all loving this. You know what the problem is? We don't love as we should. Because if we loved, we wouldn't want to do it. Number two, the operation of stealing. Operation of stealing. In other words, how do people steal? There's all kinds of ways. I'm just going to throw these at you. Go to Leviticus. That's the only passage I'll not look at most of the other ones. Leviticus chapter number 6. Here's ways people you can steal. All right? I'm not trying to teach you to steal. I'm cheering you. Yeah, that sounded bad. Here's ways to steal. All right? No. All right? These are ways, things not to do. These are ways people do steal. All right? Number one is embezzlement. Embezzlement. Definition, misuse of what has been entrusted to you to use for selfish reasons. It's embezzlement. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 2, talks a lot about all these different types of stealing. It says, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep. That's embezzlement. In other words, you have been given an authority over something and you use it for selfish reasons and take it. That's embezzlement. If you're given at work $30 for gas and to stop and get you lunch on a work-related trip, and you spent 20 and you kept the 10, and you're supposed to turn in the 10, that's embezzlement. You stole. Robbery. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse number 2. We'll keep reading. It says, and that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence. That's robbery. Taking what is not yours by violence. That is robbery. Using a superior force. So in other words, robbery, if I walked over, Coy, can you come over real quick? Me and Coy's walking by, we're in a dark alley, no one else is around, all right? And I pull out a big old, one of the Rambo knives, So anyways, I have a Rambo, and I walk up and say, hey, how you doing? Boom! Give me your wallet. That's robbery. the passage of Scripture, that is what robbery is. Then there's a difference between that and stealing. Stealing is using stealth to take what's not yours. In chapter 6 and verse number 2, again, at the end of that, or hath deceived his neighbor. All right, you do something in a sneaky way to steal it. Remember what they, when Jesus was in the tomb, remember the Pharisees ran to Pilate and said, we need two guards there because we believe the disciples are going to come and steal away his body. Now, what did they expect to do? Not come by force, but to secretly come incognito and to take the body of Christ. That's what stealing is. So, robberies, I don't think anybody in this room is, you know, we're not guilty of robbery. I hope none of you are holding someone up with a .38 and taking their wallet, all right? I hope you're not doing that. If you do, you're wrong, all right? But chances are we may be maybe more guilty of stealing, secretly taking things by stealth. Which leads me to this. Another way you can rob is this. You can rob from God. That's another way you can steal, by taking from God. Again, in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against who? The Lord. Do you know you rob God? I will say this, anytime you rob from anybody, you're robbing God. Let me explain. Ways you can rob God. I wrote down, I think, three ways. Number one, in your tithes and offerings. Remember Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8? Y'all kind of know that verse, right? Remember there's a rhetorical question asked in Malachi 3:8? You may know that question real quick. Brother Bach is here. Do you know that question in Malachi 3:8? What is it? Exactly. Will a man rob God? And we all know the answer to that is this. People are going to do it, but they're not going to get away with it. Now, here's the rhetorical question in that, all right? What is robbery? Taking by what? And the question is being posed in this way, all right? Koi, come back up here, all right? Koi is God. And the answer is, you'll do it for a while, but you're not going to get away with it forever. But you can rob God in your tithes and in your offerings. If you know and you made an income this week as a believer and as a member of a church, and you had an income this week and you did not put 10% of that in the offering, you are a thief. Amen. You are a thief. You have stolen. I'm just going to keep preaching because you're not getting it yet, all right? You are a thief. You not only can rob God of your tithes and offering, but you can rob God of the glory and the worship that he deserves. In Psalm 115 and verse number 1 says, to give unto the Lord the glory that's due unto him. When we don't give that glory to him, we're robbing God. When we come, now look at me, this worship, glory and worshiping God. What are ways we can glory and worship the Lord? What are ways we can worship the Lord? Singing. That's awesome. So if you sit there tonight and you refuse to sing, you sit there because you're in a bad mood, you rob God. Because is he worthy of that? Does it belong to him? Should he get it? Why didn't you give it? You're a thief. Does the Bible say to give unto him the glory that's due unto his name? And you sit there, well, I ain't singing. You're a thief. I know, we're supposed to talk about robbing banks, right? None of us are guilty, and stealing is wrong, yes, all right? There's other ways you can rob and steal. When we don't give him the glory and we take the glory for ourselves, when you go around in pride and say, look what I've done, Look at my ministry. Look at my job. Look at my house. Look at my bank account. And you start taking pride for things in your life. Who deserves the praise for that? God does. And when we take it, we're robbing Him of the glory that is due to Him. We're a thief. All of a sudden, we're all starting to get a little bit more guilty, aren't we? We're thieves. When we don't give Him the glory and the worship that He's due. That's why, if you remember in your Bible, in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and I believe it's Barnabas walked into town preaching, they saw something amazing in the power of God, and they all started worshiping them as gods. And Paul said, "Get up! Don't you dare worship us. We're just men." When people would fall down at the feet of the angels that throughout the Old Testament and the New, and they would begin to worship, the angels said, No. You stand up. We don't get worship. Only God gets the worship. So when we start to take some of that for ourselves, I'm not going to sing, or we start to, in our own pride, take the glory for things, or we don't give an offering, that's the way we worship God, or we don't, number three, our life, when we hold back our life, what does the Bible say we should do with our lives? We should present our bodies a what? Living sacrifice. That is a reasonable service. You know why? We have been purchased by His blood. We belong to Him. And when you as a Christian say, "All right, I understand, but I'm living my life the way I want to," you're a thief. Amen. You're not giving to God what He bought. Oh, that one makes you stop and think. Did He not purchase it? When you decide on Sunday night, "I'm just not going to church because I don't feel like it," the church was purchased with His blood. He loved it and gave Himself for it. It's His church. "Well, I'm not going." You're a thief of your time. Because God said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You're being a thief. Another way, we'll keep going, all right? Fifth thing, another way people steal is extortion. That is gaining possession of another person's possession by using their authority and power. You don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, John the Baptist looked at the tax collectors and says, "Only take what you're supposed to." It's a Travis Burke commentary, all right? Only take. He said, "I know you have authority, but don't take what's not yours." That's extortion. In other words, if you're in a position to make someone pay more or give more than what something's worth and you use your authority for that purpose, you're wrong. You're wrong. Next thing. Negligence is a way of stealing. In Exodus chapter 22, verse number 5, I'll give you the story. The Lord describes a scenario that if you have cattle and your cattle is eating a bunch of your grass and you just let them go free and they go over to your neighbor's grass and they eat their grass, you have stolen from that neighbor because you didn't take care of your own cattle. So out of your negligence, you are guilty. Negligence is failure to exercise appropriate care. In other words, give you some examples. Your dog gets off its chain and eats your neighbor's water hose. If you don't buy them a water hose, you stole from them because your negligence cost them that. You're saying, "You're just radical." Am I wrong? You're driving your car down the road and you hit someone's mailbox. You look around, nobody saw it, so you just drive on. Is that person going to have to pay and replace that? You stole from them because of your negligence. You didn't do a job at work like you're supposed to do and your boss had to hire someone else to come in and do it again and pay them overtime to do it. You stole from them. If you could have done it right and you chose not to. I'll add that. People make mistakes. When we waste our time and things like that and we cost other people. I loved when my chickens ran around. I've got 6 chickens. They're awesome. I love them. All right, they were running everywhere. Our houses are really close. And they stayed in my yard. They were good, obedient chickens. But then they discovered mulch. And they got in my mulch and they started digging up. And at first I thought, this is the greatest thing ever. Every couple days I'll sweep the mulch back into the mulch and there's never a weed in my mulch. I will never have to weed again. And it was awesome for about a week. And then they discovered my neighbor's mulch. They started going down 3 houses down. Getting in all the mulch in all my neighbor's houses. And they were very kind. And I went back and pushed their mulch back. Alex went and pushed their mulch back. Right? And their things, all right? I don't want to lie. I just preached on that too, all right? So Alex went and pushed their mulch back, right? But I had to, you know, pardon the pun, I had to coop them up, right? They no longer, and they're mad at me. I go out there to look at me like, oh, let me out. And they're mad at me, right? But I realize that if I let them do damage to other people's stuff, that's on me. You say, ah, dog eat dog world, get what you get. You're stealing from them. Negligence. Letter G, not returning something that was lost. You should be in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse number 3. It says, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it. You find something that doesn't belong to you and you don't return it, you're a thief. You're a thief. You find a Bible sitting in a pew and it's a Bible like you've always wanted and doesn't have a name in it. Well, guess it's mine now. It's a nice leather Bible. You're a thief. So there's no name in it. Still, you're a thief. What should I do? Let us announce. Whose Bible is this? If no one claims it for a month, we'll give it to you. But don't just take it. Like I said earlier, there's no such thing as finders keepers in God's eyes. We don't be a thief. You return what you found that was lost. Letter H, failure to give what is another's. Failure to give what is another's. Say, what do you mean by that? We're real close. Look at Leviticus chapter 19 real quick. Leviticus 19. Alex Burke, I want you to read Jeremiah chapter 22, verse number 13. All right? Jeremiah 22, verse 13. But look at Leviticus chapter 19 and in verse number 13. It says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this, failure to give what belongs to another person. Listen to Jeremiah 22, verse 13. Alex, read that nice and loud. Number one, if you are an employer and you do not pay your employees, you're stealing from them. Now, we always harp on the other thing, right? If you're an employee, you should be a great employee. Absolutely, you should work hard because if you're wasting your boss's time, you're stealing money from them. I'm about to talk about that, but it also goes the other way around too. If you're a boss and you're paying other people to work for you, you need to pay them. Amen. Now we don't have tons of boss owners in here, so I'm not at all harping on them. All right, I would say that it's right to take care of your employees, but I will add this: you hired a teenage boy down the street to mow your grass, but you don't pay for him; you're stealing from him. You had a guy come in and paint your house. You know, there's this type of people out there, right? And they look to find the one flaw where they can complain. I'm not paying him. You're a thief. Now, if someone does a lousy job, I understand negotiating with them. But don't be that one person, and you all know who that kind of person is, who they knew going into it, they weren't paying them. Amen. So if you hire someone, you need to pay them. I just gave you two scripture verses for that. You can't argue. You have to nod yes, or else you're saying no to God, all right? That's what the Bible says. Or if you're an employee, whoever you work for, don't steal from them. Let me read a verse to you in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, I'll be there real quick. Titus chapter number 2 and in verse number 9. Titus chapter 2 and in verse number 9. It says this, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. I'll stop right there, but you do it for the Lord's sake. So in other words, whoever you work for, folks, whoever you work for, don't steal from them. Say, how could I steal from them? If you take tools that aren't yours and you don't have permission to take it and you take it, you just stole from them. If you took money that's not yours and you took it, you stole from them. If you're sitting there and you're playing games on your phone while you're supposed to be working, you're stealing from them. If you are taking a nap while you're supposed to be working, you're stealing from them. Does that happen? My brother-in-law, Randy, works at Ford, and he's a hard worker, but he tells me stories all the time about the jokes of people working down there. It happens, doesn't it, Brother Randy? They check in, go find a corner somewhere, and take naps. Play games. go to the bathroom for 2 hours. You're stealing. Everybody nod your head yes. That's thievery. When you take things, you're slacking off, etc., etc. Letter I, we're almost done. When you refuse to work for a living, you're a thief. If you have an able body, men, and you refuse to work for a living, you're a thief. Stealing from society is just as wrong as stealing from your brother. Amen. Get a job. Quit living off other people. If you have an able body, do whatever you need to do. If you have to, you say, well, this job is below me. Well, if you don't have a job, I got news for you. There's no job below you. If you've gone 3 months without a job, I don't care what you have to do. If you have to go pick weeds out of the back of the library parking lot, then take the job. Amen. Say, well, other people are meeting my bills. If you have an able body and you're not doing it, you're a thief. We'll go on. Letter J, ripping people off is stealing from them. Proverbs 11, verse 1, God hates an unjust balance. I've already given you the illustration. If you know a car has something terrible wrong with it, but you put it in Craigslist or on the paper that this runs great, no issues, and you know it has issues, and you sell it, you're wrong. You're a thief. Failure to pay your debts. You're stealing. Look over these verses. Maybe understand what we're saying. Psalm 37, verse number 21. Psalm 37, verse 21. Psalm 37, verse 21. Brother Grimm, why don't you look up for me Proverbs 3, 28 real quick. Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 21. Psalm 37, 21 says this. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. If you know you don't have the money to buy stuff and you do not have the means to pay it back, and you do it intentionally, you're a thief. You're a thief. I don't think the Bible forbids borrowing. You can borrow and buy things when you know you have the means to make the payments and pay it off. I don't think the Bible forbids it. It tells you to get out of it as soon as you can, but I don't think the Bible forbids it. But the difference is this, you know, we're barely getting by. We can hardly pay our bills, but hey, let's go buy, you know, a big screen TV. Well, the payments are $85 a month. I know. What are you going to do? And you purchase something you know you can't pay? You're a thief. I know life happens. Sometimes people lose jobs. People have health issues. Life happens. Sometimes people get in predicaments, and there isn't one of us that could be, they're not excluded from this. It could happen to any of us, where we could get in a bad mess, and we may even have to go through something like bankruptcy or something. But as a Christian, even if you have to follow through with all that, you know what you should strive to do? That even though maybe even a court system has said, well, these are gone, these debts are gone, and you went through the proper chains, I still as a Christian would strive to eventually pay them back. The try. Amen. Does God forbid it, you know, in not paying them back? I'm just saying, as a Christian, I would try. Try to do that. But the point is this, don't get in a place where you know you can't pay it, but you do it anyways. And maybe in the back of your mind, well, in 3 years I'll declare bankruptcy and I'll be out of this. You're a thief. If that's your intention, you're a thief. The other verse, go ahead and read it, Proverbs 3:28. Hear that verse? So if you've got the money to pay your debt and you're not paying it, shame on you. Pay it. Get out as quick as you can. Another way of stealing is tax evasion. Mark chapter 12, verse number 17, what did Jesus say? Give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So if you owe, listen, don't go cheating the government. You say, well, they're all wicked cheaters. They are. Say, well, they lie. They do. Well, they got unjust laws. They sure might. But that doesn't give us an excuse to do wrong. Be honest. Don't lie. How do we overcome stealing? This is easy. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4. You can see in your notes. We're almost done. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I never want to talk about a sin without giving the solution. All right, what is the solution? It's real simple. All right, four things. 1 Thessalonians 4, almost every one of them. How do we overcome the sin of stealing? Maybe you find yourself tonight, I am guilty. I have found myself guilty. I'm stealing things. And how do I deal with this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 8. Number 1, love people. If you will get a love for people, you can't hardly have the time to steal from them, all right? When you truly love someone, you're not going to steal from them. Look in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 8, he therefore that despise it not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit, who, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Learn to love. You won't steal from the people you love. You say, well, I have family that stole from me, because they don't truly have a true understanding of what love is. Love people. Number two, you want to overcome stealing? One, love people. Two, labor. Get to work. Verse number 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. You don't want to steal? Then get out and get a job. Work. You have a job? Then work harder. Quit slacking. But work. Labor. Number three, you don't want to be a thief? Number three, then live the right kind of life. Live a good life. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Learn to live right. Again, because your life isn't yours, it's God's. So learn to live right. And then number four, learn to give. Learn to give. Now, from this passage of Scripture, the whole point, Paul is thanking these people, the church at Thessalonica, because they were givers. Paul didn't have to rebuke them for stealing, because they loved people, they worked hard with their hands, they lived a right life, and they learned to give. Last verse we'll read, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 28, and we'll pray and dismiss. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 28 says this, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Can I tell you how to get over stealing, how to quit stealing? Love people, labor, be busy working, live the right kind of life, and then learn the joy of giving. There's a thrill in stealing something. Problem with thrills are, they're there, and then there's consequences. But there is a joy in giving. And joy lasts. Don't be a thief. Let's pray, Father, Lord.